Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew 25. We're going to quickly share over a parable that all of us are familiar with, but we would like just to inquire more from it and see what God is ministering to us with. Just as a background, starting from about 24:36, probably chapter 24, you'll see that the Holy Spirit was talking about the end times. And primarily, what was being taught there through the 10 virgins and the next parable and the next one, you will see that the scripture was speaking about the rewards that we get at the end of our walk with the Lord. And so this morning, I want just to speak on that brief subject of rewards. We've been rewarding our children and giving them some presents. And you can see the excitement in their faces. And that is what we need to look forward to when the end times come. That God is going to come back and say, "Well done, good servant, faithful." And he will give us something that we will be proud of. Now, if you were in these classes and you are not attending, so your name doesn't appear on the list, when people are getting the presents, you feel like you're left out. You feel like you're left out. But basically, it's just because you are not there. But I would like us just to share this and see what God is teaching us on this. So, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. I want us to underline that. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once, underline that, went at once, and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. This man was clever in a way, because the surest way of not making mistakes is just staying put. Do you understand? If you are living in a house where there are so many glasses and the owner is very harsh, you are afraid you are going to break one of the glasses, sit. Because if you don't move, there's the probability of knocking a glass is not there. Unless there's an earthquake, that one can be explained. Praise the Lord. But it's not so wise, because you can only sit for this long in that one position. Then soon, you'll want maybe water to drink. And because now your state is so desperate, you are bound to make wrong mistakes. Movements, so you'll break more glasses than you would have gone ahead. It's good to break one glass, then you know that if I move this way, I'll always break a glass, than not to move and not break any glass, because you learn nothing. You don't learn anything at all. So if you don't want to lose money, keep it. But this world is very strange. The longer you keep money, the value goes down. That's the little economics I know. If you retain it in your pocket, I don't want to spend money because I don't want to lose money. The value is diminishing. Let me use the example of Pastor Sean. The biryani that used to cost 1.5, well, After 2 weeks, you decide to go. Maybe the World Bank has made some funny announcements in Washington. You go with 1.5. No, sorry, we have increased 1.8. My God. So the money now has become, it has become more expensive to use. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful. I'm talking about this parable. We'll expound on it more. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, can you see the confidence with which he has? Because he knows he has added some value. So he's very quick to come. Master, praise the Lord. He said, you entrusted me with 5 bags with confidence of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. How many want to be in charge of many things? Bread of life, the most humble church in Muscat. If we said in that there is some fuloos hanging around here, would you say what I have is enough? I don't mind about who is giving it out. You will quickly want to know who is donating that money, giving it out, because you want to add some more. So we love more. And if you love more, you do what this man did. Praise the Lord. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share. Listen, come and share your master's happiness. He did not just tell him to share his own happiness. He said, come and share my happiness. So being adding value to what you have been given is key to benefiting from whoever has entrusted you with that responsibility. It is important for you to understand, God does not entrust you the responsibility to lord over you. He wants you to prove you are responsible enough to share, to partake in his glory. He wants you to prove to him you are responsible enough, you've matured in your area of responsibility, that you can be a partaker of whatever he has. Because he's willing to give it out, but he only gives it out to people who are responsible. People who can add value. Not people who are scared of making a move. You know, when I talk like this, people think maybe I'm talking about investment in this world. No, I'm investment, real riches. Praise the Lord. Real riches in the spiritual realm. Because there are many of us now, as we call for teachers, probably in your heart, you've been feeling like you want to do something for God. And you feel probably this is an area that God has been ministering to me. But you say, I don't want to make mistakes in the Friday school. I'm comfortable sitting here and listening to the word of God. Yes. But you lose the key to access, to benefit from what God has in store for you. I'm not just saying about Friday school, any other ministry in the church. You've got a good voice. By the way, my voice has improved. I'll surprise some of you. You've got a good voice, and all you do is in the bathroom where you sing. As you come out, people, you are singing very nicely. I was just making noise there. You don't want to join. Come here. Let Pastor Leken and his team tell you, no, you need to brush these edges. You are twitching so much. And they know how to mold you. I'm still very rough. That's why I've never visited them. I want to polish myself a bit. Then I'll go to Brother Matthew to see what I can do. I'm saying God is calling each one of you to do something in this house. And every one of us has been given a measure according to our ability. No matter where you rate yourself, even if you say, I'm the least of this, God has given you something that you can do. Praise the Lord. It is important for you to take that step of faith and say, Lord, I am not my own. I want to come into your presence and be a vessel of honor unto you. Mold me into a vessel that is productive in the house of God. Quickly, the assignment is given to these three people. The owner knows the ability of each one of them. He knows the ability of each one of them. So you are not going to tell God what you are. He already knows who you are. Don't start talking like Moses. Moses assumed that God did not know that he was a stammerer. So he started telling God how much he cannot talk and that somebody else can do it better. But the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, he knew what he was doing. He still insisted, Moses, it is you that I am going to use. It is you that I want in this kingdom. You are the suitable candidate for this role. The other one was Gideon. Gideon also, in Judges 6, he begins to lecture God. You have abandoned us for many years. We cannot do these things. As God insists, Gideon goes further and says, you know, I'm the least in the clan of Manasseh. And our tribe is the smallest. So what? If God speaks to you in your spirit, Kenneth, I want you to do this. He has already adjudged you fit, capable to do that task. And remember, you are not doing it on your own strength. You are dependent on his wisdom and his guidance. So wherever there is a challenge, you have got every right to turn back and say, Lord, you are the one who gave me this task. Tell me what to do now. Praise the Lord. I want us to look at these people and see one thing. The first one, what was his attitude? The five-talent man, what was his reaction? The moment he was given the money, did he sit down? The Bible says at once he dashed off, began to invest. Hey, that gift God has given to you, what are you doing with it? You're waiting until somebody comes to shake you up? Pick up yourself. Begin to do something in the house of God. Stir that gift that you have. Let it be of use in this household of faith. Whoever has entrusted it to you has got the ability to build it up into a double portion. The person who invested five and the one who invested two, they must have faced the same storms in the business. When the value was falling down, the value on the stock market was falling down, all of them experienced the same. So would that one of one talent, had he done that, they would experience the same. So there was no excuse whatsoever because all of them were doing it. He should have taken whatever he had and said, okay, my risks are minimal. This one has got five. If he loses everything, this master is going to finish him. At least I've lost only one. I can negotiate. But he should have moved forward to do something with that. The five-talent man was a man who adds value. He knew the expectations of the master. He knew the expectations of the master. So, apart from having operated under the master, there was a learning process. Remember, the master had studied these people. He came to a conclusion, this one can be entrusted with five. This is his ability. This one, two, and this one only, one. So were the workers also studying him. Because the 5-talent man and the 2-talent man realized, this guy, the moment he gives you a task, he will not explain what you have to do. He leaves it up to you to decide. But at the end of the day, he will expect you to give results. No matter what he has given you, he expects only but results. That is what salvation is all about. The calling you've received from God is not just to enjoy yourself. There are results that are expected from you. That you must be a winner of souls. You must minister. You must impact on lives around you. Are you doing it today? In which way are you impacting lives spiritually around you? Have you hidden your talent, waiting for that time to explain yourself why you did not do anything? The 1-talent man came back when he brought and started labeling accusations because he was feeling guilty. He has done nothing. Oh, you know, Lord, you blessed Pastor Abraham so much. That's why we did not work. He had a right to work because you blessed him so much. Oh, Pastor Leslie is there. Yeah, you have blessed him so much. That's why I did not work, because you blessed him so much, he worked so much. That's the accusation that begins to develop in your spirit. Or you find another brother is being lifted up in the spiritual realm and God is making use of him. Same brother you've been sitting next to, and then you start accusing God. Lord, you favor some people more than others. No. It's just because these people were proactive. They decided in their heart, I want to meet the expectation of my father. You have chosen to sit back and wait for him to do something in your life. It doesn't work that way. Whatever he has entrusted in your hands, put it to work. Whatever he has entrusted in your heart, put it to work. Let him multiply it himself. Praise the Lord. The 1-talent man failed to understand the expectations, and as a result, he lost out. Bible tells us, if you read the parable more down there, further, you begin to realize that even whatever he had was taken away from him and added to the one who had more. Start thinking about the many men of God around. Why do we accuse them? Why does the press stand against them? Envy. Envy. Because they see God lifting them up to a point where now they are so much blessed. Oh, why is he having a jet? Why is his children this and this? Why is he not, you know, many things. The press will come up with a lot of things, that. And even people from the church will also throw a lot of that at such men. Why? The simple thing is, we have realized this person has taken off. He has decided to walk with the Lord. We have sat back because we are still studying God. We think, is he tricking us? Is he really serious about this? Or is he just joking? And soon you come to realize that all your time on earth is gone. Nothing to account for. That's when we begin to say, Lord, you favor more others more than us. No. He's a fair God. He's a just God. Everything he has given to you, it may look small, it may look big, but it is enough for you and it can take you through. Now, I want just to tell you something here. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. So neither one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. They will be rewarded according to their own labor. Why am I reading this verse? Because there's a problem in the church. We have valued some ministries highly compared to others. So we all want to be identified by the high, what we think in our mind is more noble. No. One is a planter, the other one is the one who waters. Praise the Lord. And all of them are just the same. If God calls you to do something, do it. If he tells you, your work, Kenneth, will be to sweep this place, he has something for me in that sweeping. If I remain faithful to him, that sweeping will lift me up. Spiritually, it will edify my soul. Every time I do it with joy, prayerfully, God is going to build a reservoir of power inside me that will be unmatched. Praise the Lord. So rewards are fair in the eyes of God. He will always reward you for what you are doing as long as you are faithful, sincere, and committed. Now the problem that we have is Kenneth waits until one of the pastors is around, that's when he becomes very active. That is eye service. You are only as saved as you are in your private. When you are alone, nobody's there, no church member is around. Examine yourself at that point. How saved are you? If you are more saved when you are close to people of God than when you are alone, that's hypocrisy. No other word. Praise the Lord. Strive to be closer to God in that private time. Then in public, God manifests himself. Praise the Lord. That is true service. Let's not hide ourselves and give excuses. I just want to finish by saying, despise not the days of small beginnings. Despise not the days of small beginnings. That is the seed, the mustard seed that God wants in your life. That is the mustard seed that God wants in your life. And whatever service you render in that seed faithfully, the seed will blossom and will be a big tree. Gideon was thinking of a big army. That's Judges 6. He was thinking of a huge army. When God told him, you are going to lead these people to victory, he assembled over 30,000 men. Say, now, Lord, I'm ready. Then God smiled and laughed. He said, Gideon, you are not ready. Gideon said, why? Okay. He said, get some of these people away. They are obscuring your vision of success. The big crowd that is obstructing you from seeing the goal that I have for you in life. They remained 10. I can see Gideon asking himself, this God, which military academy did he go to? You need numbers. You need numbers. And after a while, the people were trimmed up to 300. I'm sure Gideon was now saying hallelujah. And when the victory came, what was his role? Just to witness. Witness. That is what God prepares you for. When you set yourself to serve God faithfully, the moment you start seeing yourself struggling, begin to check yourself. Am I in my own petrol? Am I using my own petrol to move myself or what? Because it's always easy to turn back to whoever sent you and say, oh Lord, I've reached this point, I'm finding it challenging. Come and take over. And the good shepherd comes and holds you in his hand, puts you back and says, the battle belongs to me, and the victory is yours. Sit there and watch and receive the victory. Praise the Lord. I want you to be encouraged. Any area in your life that you've been struggling, especially as in the ministry work, God is in control. He wants you to sit on the side and let him do the fighting. The battle belongs to him. Praise the Lord. He is faithful. Time has gone, but I'll read this verse and then stop. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, let's start from verse 12. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. All God is saying, I am the final authority on everything. And if I've decided I'm going to reward, I'll reward. If I've decided I'm not going to reward, I'm not going to reward. Align yourself with God that you may be blessed. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexual immorality, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Let's stay in the presence of God and expect him to work through us. Not us working in God, but God working through us. May God bless you so much.
Shall we stand as we bring the service to a close? And as I was sitting there, Brother Claudy reminded me of one of our very own, Sarah Emil George. She was a student in this Friday school. She taught in this Friday school. And today, her child received a gift from this Friday school. We are not mentioning this just about her, but every one of us has a role to play. That's what it's all about. God's blessings go from generation to generation. So please take the opportunity that has been given to you. You have heard a word of God. You have heard the cry that has been made from this pulpit. And let me take you to a verse that Brother Kenneth did mention. Judges 6:15. Judges 6:15. And he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Ask yourself, is this your excuse today? Is this your excuse today? Now remember this, how you look at yourself is not important. How others look at you is totally irrelevant. What matters is how God looks at you. And if you go back three verses to the second part of verse 12, this is how God looked at Gideon when he said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I am the least, is my impression of myself. But what did God say? Mighty man of valor. Is that how God is looking at you today? I'm sure he is. But how are you looking at yourself? Look at God, talk to God right now. You have God-given talents. I have God-given talents. There is no one here who doesn't have God-given talents. You know it. You know it. You have abilities. The man who was given five used it at once. Today, God is asking you and me, what are you doing with the talents that I've given you? Are you going to use it immediately, at once, or are you going to bury it? Sitting is the enemy of service. So it's time we got up. It's time we got up. I want you to consider one more thing before we close in prayer, and that is this. What will you tell the Lord on that great day when you stand in front of Him? And He asks you, what have you done with what I have given you? It will be too late to try to give Him an answer at that point. The answer to that question must come now. You've heard the cry. You've heard the call of the Lord. It doesn't have to be made any clearer than this. So please take time, talk to God, consider your ways, consider where you can serve the Lord. Look at your talents. Don't look at what others are doing. It's not about popularity. It's not about fame. It's not about name. It's not about face. It's where God wants to use you best. Just talk to God and tell Him, God, reveal to me, if I don't already know it, reveal to me that talent which you have put in me. Take away any diffidence I have, any hesitation I have. Take away this laziness that comes, creeps into me. Take away this critical spirit that sometimes comes into me, Lord. Where I think it is not my job, there are others who can do it. Talk to God right now, because God has said there is place. There are tasks to be done. Look around. Father, right now we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for you have revealed to us again, Lord, that in your kingdom there is always work to be done. And you want laborers. You want people to serve you, Lord Father. Father, here we are today, Lord. A whole lot of us, Lord Father. And yes, Lord, this call is to many of us, Lord, that you want us to serve, Lord. Not to bury those talents that you have put into us, Lord, but to use it for your glory, Lord Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing across this word to us, this thought across to us, and revealing your heart's cry, Lord Father. Father, continue, Lord, to mold us and make us. And to break that obstinate spirit that some of us have, Lord Father. So that we can take that next step, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your servant whom you have used this day, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the words of wisdom that you have given him, for anointing him, Lord Father, so that he can bring across to us, Lord Father, that which you have put in his heart. Pray, Lord, that you will anoint him the more, Lord Father. Bless him and his family, Lord, that they shall continue to be a blessing, Lord Father. Every desire of their heart you shall meet, Lord Father. Father, and at this time we also want to commit the Friday school into your hands, Lord. Every teacher, every child. Use every teacher for your glory, Lord Father, and mold every child, Lord Father, into your kingdom purpose, Lord Father. We thank you, we praise you. We give all glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Let's move out. Let's fellowship with each other. Don't forget to think of where you can serve.